The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
This is ESPN 1000. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Thanks to the great folks, Billy Guidey and everybody at Courtney Perry, everybody at Bernie's Book Bank, Caps making the turn for home. Ooh, they're past the 13-mile mark. Thank you for listening, calling, and participating in today's show. Thanks to Courtney Cronin, Todd Furman, and Jesse Rogers.
Jesse just left the building.
Jesse and Connor, I think, just left the building. Jake Cantu, great job. Charlie Bevins, Midway Jeff Meller, and Randy Merkin back at the shop. So remember, come see us tomorrow. We're out and about. Heisman's in downtown Naperville for a Football Friday. We got a bunch of Football Fridays, guys, over the next few weeks all over the place. We got one at the Pride Stores,
yeah,
out in St. Charles coming up. We've got one at another Hooters. I think the one in Orland Park.
We're at a
We've
bunch of places.
We've got Heisman's time tomorrow with Keeper's Heart Irish American Whiskey. So come see us noon to 2:30 tomorrow, downtown Naperville at Heisman's.
How was the whiskey
event? Oh, great event last night.
Last night at the Elm
Johnny
Grange.
Showed up.
He did great not, but it was, it was jam-packed. It
That's
was
right.
Old Forester. I think we're going to be right back there next month.
Nice.
Potentially with Kentucky Owl. That'll be pretty special.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I think I think with Kentucky Owl next month. But it was awesome last night. And, you know, I didn't get to see too much of the talk. They have TVs everywhere. The Elm is a great place in the Grange.
You didn't miss anything.
And we saw it, but we were like, we're not really missing much.
Baseball game?
Yeah.
No.
They were down early.
Oh, my goodness.
The White Sox are going down.
Sorry, Tyler.
Kind of a defeatist effort, wouldn't you call it that?
That's what's happening. What's going on down there?
He's plugging.
Tyler seems to be in a compromised position.
He is simply plugging something into the...
What is going on down there?
Yeah, like last night, guys, your back's against the wall and that's it. Like, that's the effort. It's everything that's wrong with the team.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
And then I was talking to Jesse, too. He's a friend.
Jesse is a friend.
A good friend. Miguel Cairo... they got a bump because it wasn't Tony. It wasn't necessarily pro Miguel, and I think he's over his head too. You know what? It's time for your team, Carm. Not only for changes as a whole, they haven't had a managerial search in how long? Just like with the Bulls, you know. Think about it. Fred Hoiberg got hired without a coaching search. Jim Boylan got hired without a coaching search. Tony La Russa got hired without a coaching search. Ricky Renteria was promoted from within without a coaching search. It is time that they get their work boots on and they do some work and they go find the right manager.
The last time they went on a coaching search, they landed on Robin Ventura.
Well, I mean,
he didn't want the job.
He did not want the job.
He didn't want it. That's what they found. We got a guy we like, but he doesn't want to do it.
Kenny pinned him against the license. Yeah. Robin, you're coaching now.
How angry when Sylvie gave you the presentation that he had advertised early in the show.
I wasn't angry.
No?
You're
apathetic now.
No, I'm not apathetic.
Sylvie laid it out for you to be more than angry.
But I know all that.
I know, but when you hear it again.
He's lived it.
He's living it.
But when you have to relive it.
I did call in as Jerry from Scottsdale, but you guys never got to me.
Wait, were you really Jerry from Scottsdale?
Oh, yeah.
You should have told me to take Jerry from. Yeah. I didn't even see Jerry.
Hold on for 45 minutes.
I saw it. I asked Tyler. I said, God, I hope that is Jerry.
You thought it was Hoodie. I thought it was Hoodie. Yeah, I couldn't. I finally had to hang
out. He held on for 45 minutes.
I was on hold for a while.
Wait, can I talk to Jerry in Scottsdale now?
All I was going to say was, you're never going to get a bite at the apple again and stay out of White Sox business. And then I was going to make a joke about going to dinner with Tony because it was 2:30 in Arizona.
Yeah.
And then I was going to hang up. I don't really do a Jerry. That's more a Hoodie's thing, but that's all you were going to get out of me. I waited for 45 minutes to give that one
45.
Line. I'm like, I can't wait anymore.
Couldn't go to Jerry and Scottsdale.
Tony and I are going to get the early.
He had a dissertation going. Yeah, he was laying out the facts of the case.
I know it all. I mean, Sylvie's
right. It's a resounding guilty.
I've lived it, Tommy. Yeah, so when he was laying it out, I'm like, yeah, I was nodding in agreement. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's sometimes a from a sporting fandom standpoint, it's a tough existence.
Yeah.
They
tough
just don't make it easy. They do not make it easy to cheer for them. I've said that for a long time.
This season was pretty much a fun-free year, hasn't it been to this point?
It's been brutal.
Yeah.
It's I'm telling you.
Fun suckers.
I promise you, the people in that organization know it.
Yeah, of course.
They feel it. Yeah. They know it. This has been awful.
Yeah, it's been brutal.
On so many levels. And there is work to do to try to clean this up. There is more than there's more to fix than you probably thought you'd have to fix this at this point of, you know, where they were in this window.
Yeah, you're going to be cutting heads this offseason. That's what you're going to be doing.
Who are you cutting?
I'm talking about on the field.
Right, me too.
You've got to streamline your operations as far as looking at where your depth is, where you have too much, to remove some of that, and then get some skilled outfielders.
Yes.
I was just going to say
the corner positions. Yeah,
if you go through the list and they say, you know what, you'd be interested in sending us this guy, who do you say no to? Like, you want to keep Vaughn. Right.
Yeah, I would keep Vaughn.
You want to keep Vaughn?
I mean, I would probably. I mean, depending on the
Robert.
None of them are untouchable.
Right, I know.
I would think Robert, Aloy, and Vaughn are.
TA, you're open to?
Yeah, I'd be open to it.
I think at this point, you've got to be willing to move pretty much all of the pieces.
I'd be willing to move the third baseman.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if you can get a box of donuts for him.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, you're selling low. Yes. Like, that's why I said that Waddle. I think we'd all agree that he's sort of a dog, and he's the type of player you want out of there. But what are you getting for him?
Not much.
And is it like,
he is cost controlled to a certain extent, but not much.
But if he's not delivering anything for you, then you have to be willing to take less in return, don't you?
Yeah. I don't think it's. I asked Jesse that earlier, right? We'll see as the hot stove rolls around, but I don't think there's going to be a very vibrant market if they did dangle him out there.
Somebody might be willing to give up like number 10 in their
Just have to rearrange
prospect
things.
Range,
you just, I mean, you can't go back to the gate with the same.
Can't do the same
stuff.
Thing.
You're still
for
looking for a second baseman. You might need a new third baseman. You probably do. You need a new catcher. You need two corner outfielders. Other than that, I mean, man, that's a lot for a team that's supposed to be in a championship.
You need a new
window,
manager,
right?
Hold on
now.
Do you shut Tim Anderson down and just say we don't need
him? I'm not sure why.
Jesse said they're playing him and that he needs the reps, but they may shut down Luis Robert.
I would probably shut down Luis Robert. Luis Robert can't be playing right now. He's hurt.
No.
Luis Robert, what did he do last night? Did he do anything last night?
I don't
think Did anyone
so.
Do anything? But Moncada had a home run,
Moncada
right?
Moncada had a home run.
Maybe. Yeah, Robert didn't play last night. Robert was out of the lineup.
Since August Robert was out of the lineup last night. Since August 24th, Luis Robert has one hit, one single.
That's incredible.
Since August 24th. Now he's missed games. I mean, it's like 30 at-bats. He has one single.
Carmen gave me the numbers yesterday. Batting average, .036. On base percentage, .036.
Slugging percentage,
.036.
It's time.
He has one single. He needs to be shut down. He's hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm not lambasting Luis Robert.
He's hurt. The man's injured.
He needs to be. He can't swing.
Man can't swing.
He needs to be shut down. He has one single in his last 30.
Well, I mean, there's a strange stat too about it. Doesn't he have like two RBIs I'm trying to see. I think he's got two RBIs from the start of August.
I'm also doing some sort of a new fitness program where this team cannot have 25-year-olds with tired legs next year.
It's nuts.
It is time to take an off-season program.
Do the Guardians have tired legs?
No.
They run like rabbits.
Man, that's Stephen Kwan.
That's all they do.
You wish that was Matt.
They run like rabbits.
They were teammates in college.
I was texting.
Were they running the place? What are you thinking, Pilates? What are you thinking?
Yes, the pliability. You don't need to put on 15 pounds.
Yoga?
I'm going to add power and I'm going to get bulk.
How about some yoga?
Aloy, yes. Aloy needs to be more flexible.
Get some Lululemons out there.
Put the guys in
some tights. Get them going.
It's crazy that you've got a core group of players this young, and they've got tired legs, and they can't run.
Six guys at one time couldn't run to first.
It's absurd.
And then you're watching the Guardians run to first base. They hit a little nibbler to the pitcher, and they're flying down the first base line.
They do.
Putting pressure on the pitcher to make a good throw.
It's unbelievable.
They take more extra bases than
When, let me tell you, when you watch the two teams together and you watch the way the one team plays and the way the other team plays, you have to tell yourself, well, I understand why the hell this is happening.
Yeah,
I mean, these guys are hell-bent for election.
By the way, I think
they're getting things going.
Jesse was telling us, too, that I think if the Guardians go ahead and do what they're going to do, and that's win the division, they'll be the youngest team. In the postseason, maybe the youngest team ever to ever get there.
They're one of the
youngest. That's what Jesse
said. It's an incredible stat. Yeah. I was texting with Siciliano yesterday. He's on the NFL Network.
Andrew Siciliano.
He loves Chicago. He loves the Guardians. He's a huge Guardians fan. I think his grandfather or uncle, someone grew up in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. They loved the Guardians back then.
He was texting me about the game, and he couldn't believe the way the White Sox were playing yesterday. And he was going after Moncada, and he was going after the way their effort yesterday. Then he was telling me about some of the players, and he said that Quan is a guy that he would actually adopt as a child.
Zobie's dreaming that Nick Madrigal. It ain't happening.
Who's the guy that does the White Sox stuff on Twitter that put together?
Jay Cuda.
That video of all of the different misses of the cutoff guy. It was like Benny Hill to me.
It might as well put the Benny Hill music to it. You're right, 100%. That's the White Sox outfield.
Who plays little Jackie Wright? The old guy that gets slapped on the head all the time? You got to like
Gavin
that.
Gavin Sheets?
No, Daryl Boston. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, their defensive metrics across the board, guys. They're one of the three or four worst in baseball. It's not a surprise to anybody. This has been a tough year. I mean, this is more than just, it's underachieving. It's all the injuries. It's the weirdness, like you said, with the tired legs. It's the manager. It's the whole thing. It's just, what an absolute disaster. Yeah. It is a complete and total disaster.
Oh, this is from a Sox fan, so don't get mad at me. This is from a buddy of mine who's a Sox fan.
Hey, we are your home for White Sox baseball.
He heard my rant yesterday, and he said, if the Cubs are known as the lovable losers, the White Sox are the unlovable losers.
That's right.
And I thought that was a great line. This year's White Sox team, they are unlikable.
Yes.
They are not productive, and they are unlikable.
Been a rough year.
Fun suckers.
On another note, we watched...
That's the only note we have.
Well...
No.
No, finally, the All-22 became available to us last night.
What happened? Why did you guys not get the All-22?
I don't know.
And some others did.
I don't know. I watched it this morning, finally.
I did, too. I watched it early this morning.
It was finally available. I don't know why.
Like Durkin was getting it. Why does Durkin have the access and you guys don't?
I texted Durkin yesterday, and he said he had it. I didn't have it.
I have no idea. Yeah. That's weird. I have no clue. But I watched it this morning. Waddle watched it, and I trust his eyes better, but... There are receivers open.
I mean, I would preface everything by saying, look, we've gone through two games. You got a new offense, a new staff. You played San Francisco in a monsoon in Green Bay. They're a top six defense. But when we start to assess blame for things we're seeing, you cannot avoid some of the things that the quarterback isn't doing right now.
Yeah.
That's the simplest way
to
say it.
That's a good way to put it.
You know,
got to see the quarterback get better.
Yes,
there are some things out there, and like there were plays to be made.
Listen, as I said yesterday, do they have the best offensive line in the league? Absolutely not.
Borum had a rough game, I thought. By the way,
I think Borum at this point, especially when you leave him alone, is a liability in some pass protection situations. Look, I know they don't have a great line, and I know, like, we've got Dante Pettis, they've got Tyreek Hill in Miami. But I don't care what the name of is on the back of your jersey. If you're open, you're open.
Right.
Like, we can sit and both things can be true. We don't have enough weapons for our young quarterback. But you don't have to be Tyreek Hill to be wide open for the quarterback to see him and throw him the football. I'd like to see more of what I saw. And again, it was Cleveland. I know Cleveland wasn't playing their starters. But take that out of the equation and just the concept of – shuffling up in the pocket and ripping it to a wide-open guy who's running a 15-yard curl.
Climb that pocket.
Climb the pocket. Do the different things that you know. You just question why is he so uncomfortable at times playing from inside the pocket? Like, I know you can...
It's a problem with a lot of young quarterbacks, isn't it? Especially the super athletes. Their whole lives, all they know is, well, now I'll just run.
Yeah.
And that's his... go-to at this point. It's, pocket's collapsed. And instead of climbing it,
yeah,
or just doing something to buy yourself an extra second, keeping your eyes on the field, and then hitting an open receiver. It's now I'm going to run. Now yeah. I'll do something with my leg.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's the biggest problem right. that team is facing on offense. But if you were to look at that film and ignore some of his deficiencies right now, you're not seeing it clear.
And the play we don't talk about a lot was the one he went over the line.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. You know, just and we've seen it before. We've seen it close.
Yeah.
We've seen guys that get there, get close, think they're going to get rid of it. And this is clear two and a half yards
two
over.
2.5 yards, yeah.
I mean, it was clear.
Well, he had a guy coming across the middle that was open. He could have thrown it.
Then he made a play, right?
But he could have made that throw
earlier.
Yeah. The receiver was open.
And he was right in his sight line.
And he didn't have
to take off the awareness.
It's
the processing it in real time instead of 3 yards late.
When you said, Sylvie said this like early in the week, look, it's the things that when you do have a clean pocket that aren't happening, those are the things that make you quote-unquote nervous.
Do you remember the near interception in week one with Gibson when he dropped the ball? It was right before the Pettis play. That play scared the hell out of me. And then this week, over the line, and then what was the play with a clean pocket where MVS went
Scantling?
Yeah. No.
No. Equanimeous. Saint Brown.
I always get my
Marquez.
I always get my former Packers mixed up. Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. He did the curl. Then there was someone open deeper on the other side. He took the check down on third down to force a fourth down. Yeah.
Right. Well, and you can look at that play, and there's plenty of time.
That's the one we watched. The guy broke clear.
Different one.
And you can. He misses Equanimeous Saint Brown putting his hand up. He also misses the backside curl that is wide ass open.
Actually, that might have been.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Pettis.
Yeah.
You might be right.
Pettis is the other receiver, and to me, it looks like if you're not going to go to St. Brown, you have a wide open receiver. It was reminiscent of the Cleveland game. Same side of the field, looking to his left, step up in the pocket and rip it. And he didn't, and he held it, and eventually dumped it off to David Montgomery.
Right.
That ended up, it was like 37 to 3rd and 8. They were short, and they had to. Now, you got to throw that ball.
And now the conditions are going to be good. You're at home. You're a favorite. You're playing a Lovie team that defensively. I watched the Denver game. There's nothing special there, guys. They don't blitz a lot anyway.
Bend and don't break, That's what Lovie does.
And they attacked Stingley. He's going to get picked on a little. He's a rookie. He's going to be great probably. I have no doubts. It's Derek Stingley.
Just like Gordon's getting picked on.
He's going to be good, but he got picked on a little. Sutton had a big game. Sutton had over 100 yards in week one against Lovie's defense. Michael Pittman had a monster game. Matt Ryan threw for 300 yards. Over 300, I think, in that game. So a Texans defense where what we've seen on tape through 2 weeks is you can make plays against them. Let's see if they can make plays against them.
You
outside
know what
of Jerry Hughes, they don't have a pass rusher that really scares you. Like, go make plays against
them.
They're not
a disaster because, I mean, they've kept, they've kept the scoring down from their opponents.
They have.
But they give up a lot of yards.
They've given up yards. Like Sylvie called it. You know what they're going to do. Yeah. There's nothing overly intimidating. They've given up yards. There have been plays that have been made against that defense. Let's see the Bears make plays against that defense.
Tomorrow's keys to the game should be something special.
Yeah, they should be.
They're going to be something special.
Which principle are you going to go with?
No. That was the first week. I was employing the coach's philosophies. And I think in week one it worked. Okay. Week two, unfortunately, I laid it out there for you. And
they didn't execute your plan.
No, second quarter was abysmal. Oof.
All right, boys.
Second quarter collapse.
What's on the show today?
So we have a lot. So Waddle will give us his big thoughts. He's got some strong thoughts on several players from watching the All-22. I love this, too, that everyone's got access to the All-22 because then everyone puts on their coach and visor. Everyone's like, hey, I watched the film.
I watched the tape.
It would help with a play sheet.
Knowing what they're trying to do, of
course.
Knowing
defensively what they're playing, what they're not playing, and offensively what they're trying to get done. A little easier to decipher offensively.
Right.
Not as much defensively.
Here's something I want to note, too, from listeners. It reminds me in the NFL what has been going on in the NBA, where if you want one of these good wide receivers, they're never going to hit free agency because of the franchise tags, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Like the second-level guys will hit free agency.
Right.
I want to know.
Kenny Golladay hits free agency. Yeah,
right. But here are the guys who have changed teams, obviously, and have been difference makers, and you could probably add more. Stephon Diggs, A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams. who is that guy that we should keep our eye on for the Bears for next year?
Like that they go out and get
some guy whose contract is running up and they can't pay him because they're paying their quarterback.
Yeah.
So there's your
those guys I think will materialize as the season. It'll become more apparent as the season comes on.
They didn't franchise Godwin. He got a deal, right? Godwin got a deal.
Yeah, Godwin got a deal.
So it'll be somebody going into their fifth or sixth year. That is having a year, and their quarterback's getting paid $35 million.
DK just got paid. Think about that.
You know, DK may still be a guy to keep your eye on, that if they're going to be so woefully bad, they may not want to pay a wide – and especially if he's going to get 35 yards per game with Geno Smith.
Right. So maybe they say we might as well trade him.
I don't know what Ayuk is in San Francisco.
I like Ayuk.
I don't know what Jerry Jeudy is. All I'm saying is, you know, if there's a receiver already getting paid also – you really can't pay two receivers.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to get in the way of the Twitch guys. If one guy's getting paid, you can't pay the second guy. So it might be a team with a second guy that could
Chase
be a
Claypool.
Stud also.
You know, somebody like that.
Notre Dame kid.
Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking Deontay Johnson is the other guy that's there.
Yeah. I listed you guys, though, for stars.
Well,
those are stars.
Yeah, that's true. But it takes a special set of circumstances
to make a guy expendable.
All these guys are all in the
Justin Fields category. Now, of course, look, in Buffalo, you look at Josh Allen, you say he's great. But Josh Allen was throwing, what, 55% completion? So they surround him. A.J. Brown goes and helps Jalen Hurts, who's a developing quarterback. Yeah. Tyreek Hill goes
Devontae Smith is also down there. I mean, it's not like he's a high draft choice.
Who's that?
Devontae Smith, with Billy.
The two of them.
It's like a double influx. One the rookie.
It's like what Miami
has. Now you brought the veteran guy.
Yeah, it's like what Miami's got with those. So it's ridiculous.
A lot of Bears talk. We've got Durkin today. We've got Wilbon today. We're going to check in with Cap, obviously. Connor McKnight. And plenty of time for your calls.
You guys have Durkin every week?
Every week.
Every Thursday.
Who's jerking with Durkin?
We do need an open for him. Jerking with Durkin.
Who's jerking with Durkin?
I don't know. Is anyone jerking with Durkin?
It might be.
You never know.
He's not lurking. Lurkin's a jerkin.
Yeah. Lurkin, he's
so
lurking.
So we call a Durkin.
Maybe Durkin's got a merkin.
He's Dan Durkin.
A lot of rhymes. All right, Waddle and Silby next. See you tomorrow. Heisman's
he's
in Naperville.
He's lurking with a merkin.
Heisman's in Naperville for a Football Friday. We'll see you there. Waddle and Silby are next. Have a great afternoon.
Guys, as temperatures fall outside, do not wait. Get a free furnace with buy one, get one free from ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get a free furnace when you purchase a qualifying AC unit this fall through ABC. Financing is available with budget-friendly payments as low as just $57 a month. ABC provides no cost, no obligation, in-home consultations to create the perfect system designed to meet your needs. Or extend the life of your existing furnace with an ultimate furnace tune-up for just $29. I'm getting mine checked out next week. You should too. ABC has been serving Chicagoland for over 70 years. Check them out today at 4abc.com. That's the number 4abc.com. ABC delivers a five-star experience from the time you schedule your appointment all the way through when their technician finishes the job. ABC makes it easy and convenient to fit your schedule with evening and weekend availability as well. For all your service and installation needs, trust ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric, and consider it done.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, let me set you the table here, what we got going today, because it's a glorious day. Very autumnal today, Waddle. It is glorious.
Glorious.
You know, like
very
upper
what?
60, autumnal. Is it not autumnal?
I don't know what that means.
It's autumn-like.
Oh, okay.
Autumn-like.
All right, I didn't know.
I got that right, autumnal,
you
don't
may,
I?
I'm not saying you got it wrong. I just never heard it.
Didn't you take the I can't say that. Did you take the weather class?
I did. But I don't know that I ever heard that word.
Yeah.
Maybe I did. I don't know.
So it's beautiful outside. We are alive. Having a great time right in the shadows of Guaranteed Rate Field. Cork and Carry on the Park. This is a legendary spot. You know, we've been here throughout our years together, dating back to when it was Jimbo's. Court can carry on the park. Now, we were here. I always remind Waddle that we were here. The show that's one of the more memorable shows that I could remember is when LeBron and Dwayne Wade in 2010 were, you know, before they took their talents to South Beach, and that was the big free agency. We were here like just days before that, and there were like so many rumors up in the air, and like the bar was full, people, Bulls fans, feeling like...
You thought they were, it was going to happen.
I thought
you?
We were getting, I thought they were getting someone better than Carlos Boozer. Put it that way. Yes, I thought they would get one of them. I thought Bosch and Wade for sure were real possibilities.
What year was this again?
This is 2010.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, the free agency. It's the most memorable free agency in NBA history, isn't it?
Yes.
It's when the super team was born, right? When the players took the power. When the players said, "We don't need the general managers to organize this stuff. We'll organize it for ourselves."
This was when Jim Gray also asked LeBron if he still bit his nails, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Still a nail biter?
At the Boys and Girls. He raised a lot of great money, we're doing today for Boys and Girls as well with Bernie's Book Bank. But it was a bad look to do it on national TV. And plus, remember, I think it was Broussard and also Stephen A. who had both scooped the decision. We pretty much knew that he was going to Miami.
Yeah. You still a nail biter?
There you go. So we've been here throughout the years. Love it here. So whether you live on the south side, you're in the Bridgeport area, you're going to the game tonight, come on by, see us. There's plenty of, like I was saying, glorious weather. You could sit inside with us, listen to the show. The windows are open, too. You could hear the show sitting on the outside. I'm sorry to hit your hat. I was pointing over there. And there are many outdoor seats to enjoy the weather today.
Beautiful scenery.
Right. And then the reason why we're here, it's the Walk is One, the third annual Walk is One event to benefit Bernie's Book Bank, which is an outstanding charity that provides books for underprivileged kids. And they deliver, and the station has done many great events with Bernie's Book Bank. And Cap has been doing the walk now. This is his third year. I think they're doing 21 miles today.
Raised a ton of money in recent years.
Yeah, and what people need to do is, I think it's 44321. It's right here. Let me see if I could do it from memory. Quiz me. Text 44321. Text ESPN 4 books to 44321. And then you will get the link on where you can make your donation to Bernie's Book Bank. Yes? Did I get that all right?
Hit it on the head right
well
there.
Well done.
And also,
and what's our power hour? Yeah, tell me about what is the power hour here.
We've got Savills for the power hour. Right now, they will match any gift made during this show up to $25,000.
Wow.
To benefit Bernie's Book Bank. They're an integrated commercial real estate advisory firm with 600 offices globally. They bring people together, services, and technology to cut through the complexity of today's market, helping clients unlock hidden value and drive results for their business. So they will be matching donations up to $25,000 during this show today.
It's an amazing partnership that not only we have with Bernie's Book Bank, but like companies like that who understand the power of reading, the power of learning, and how this will make us all better.
And those that don't have access to
right.
it. And that's what the awareness and the funds are for. And like you said, Cap has done a brilliant job with this in the last couple of years and such a worthy cause. And we're trying to help make sure that we maximize not just the acknowledgement, but also the donations as well.
So come see us at Cork and Carry at the park. Cap will be coming back. Him and Darren are throwing out the first pitch today at the White Sox game. And, we talked a little about it. If you want to weigh in, if you're a Sox fan who's super frustrated, And pretty much we knew after they lost game one that was it. But you would like them at least to come out yesterday. And, you know, the Guardians should be a tired team because of all the baseball they've played.
They should have been the White Sox should have played like the team that had something on the line. It was the Guardians that played like the team that needed to win that game to advance.
Right. And I don't know if the Guardians, I'm pretty much sure the Guardians this year don't have what it takes to win it all or to go deep into the postseason. But that's a team that makes your city proud, right?
Yeah.
And it's sort of been the opposite of what the White Sox were. I got to hand it to Jesse. Jesse told me months ago, and he always loves himself, and I told you so. I still framed it, so I was kind of right, where I was never worried about the Twins and the Guardians. And Jesse always said, Sylvie, forget about the Twins, it's the Guardians. So he was right. What I always thought was, is the White Sox biggest competition is the White Sox.
Yes.
They're their worst enemy.
I think that's fair.
And so, but I will give Jesse credit because he called it months ago. He said, Sylvie, don't worry about the Twins. It's the Guardians, and I'm worried the Guardians. So, Jesse, you were right. I texted him yesterday. He was right. And again, like, that's not a team that I think is talented enough to win it this year, but it makes Cleveland proud. And I think that's what the South Side would enjoy right now, is a team that would make the fan base a little more proud than this year's team play.
I would say the Guardians exceeded expectations. That's a fair statement, right? And I think it's also a fair statement that the White Sox underachieved. Like, they were expected to be a team that not only would win the division, but I thought that they would win the division fairly handily because of the rest of the division.
Yeah.
And it's just been – it's been one of the more disappointing seasons, sports seasons. And as I've said for the last couple, you know, maybe months, they have kind of – this team has sucked the fun out of watching them play baseball.
It's really been for a lot of the – I was joking about the Packers fans. They – even though that team is still very good, they hate watch their team. I think a lot of Sox fans – feel that way, and some Sox fans I even saw on my Twitter timeline saying that they're happy that they don't have to be so invested now over the next 12 or 13 games, whatever's left, because it's just like
there's relief
that it's just over.
Yeah.
That it's just they're out of their misery, and the fans are out of their misery. Of course, you would want them to be in it and be a more likable team, but just for the sake of exercise, too, name me guys. Anyone who lived up to their expectations or overachieved for the back of the baseball card for the White Sox this year?
Dylan Cease.
Yep. Yeah, Elvis Andrews, right. I mean, that's for like a month, right? I mean,
Liam Hendricks?
He came late. Yeah. Hendricks matched it. Hendricks is the guy you thought you would get.
Yeah.
Johnny Cueto.
Johnny Cueto. And Johnny wasn't even on the team either. Right. Like, he wasn't even a planned player for this team. You know, it was what's his face who ratted on everybody through Bob Nightingale?
Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
He was your fifth starter.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm trying to think. Not Moncada. Not Tim Anderson. He was banged up all year. Second baseman, no.
I think Vaughn's stepping up a little bit.
Vaughn, absolutely. There's Vaughn's, a good one.
But Vaughn's power numbers are nowhere close to where you thought they'd be this year, are they, Jeff?
I don't know, 17 home runs for a second-year player is pretty solid.
Everyday player, he's established that he can hit both righties and lefties. I think it was a good year for Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah, and I'll agree with you, Wads. I think there's an expectation that more power can be unlocked going forward.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, for a guy who's in his, you know, second season, I'll take that.
Look, yeah, and as Sylvie said, look, he was defined as a guy that was just good hitting lefties, and I think that he has disproven that myth.
Like Abreu, even though his average is high, he didn't slug. Certainly Luis Robert, for injuries and underachievement, all of it combined, I thought he would be an MVP candidate.
I thought so as well.
I thought he has that in him, and he didn't. And that's the problem when you have two, three guys. You know, Grandal was crap all year. Giolito, not even close.
You know,
most of their bullpen arms underachieved, except for Hendricks, right? I mean, Graveman was kind of what you expected, but Joe Kelly sucked this year.
I think the 15 home runs from Jose Abreu was a big shock. Look, this team as a group, they've climbed the ladder in terms of total home runs in all of Major League Baseball, but they're still probably certainly in the bottom half. But there was a while where they were in the bottom five or six. The power that was missing accentuated all of their other warts.
Right.
Because this is a team that if you look at them, you put them together, you're not going to look at them and go, yeah, they're not going to steal a ton of bases. They're not going to be the best defensive team in the league. They've got some issues, but some of those issues will be masked by the amount of power that we put into this lineup on a day-to-day basis. And those home runs until maybe what, 3 or 4 weeks ago never materialized.
312-332-3776 if you want to react, whether it's about the White Sox. You want to talk some Bears? Waddle's all over the film study, the All-22. He sent us a detailed text message this morning with juicy stuff.
Juicy.
Stuff that he wants to see better all the way around. And the offensive coordinator doubled down today on a very controversial play call. We'll have all of that. It's all brought to you by Bernie's Book Bank. You could watch us on Twitch as well. Bernie's brings you the Twitch chat. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
All right. We are live at Cork and Kerry at the park. It's Waddle and Sylvie teaming up with Bernie's Book Bank. With the walk is one today, we will check in with Cap in just a little bit. I know a lot of people want to talk some Sox. Waddle's got the All-22 film study with lots of juicy info. And Luke Getsy also today, by the way, said that he would run that same play again at the goal line.
The quarterback power?
Yeah. Out of the shotgun, yeah. Yes. And
said it was blocked. If it was blocked appropriately, that he felt confident that it would work, I would still look. I'm no Bears offense coordinator, but you got down there giving the ball to David Montgomery. I would have put the quarterback under center and handed the ball to David. But that's me.
Right. And we'll play you some of the Luke Getsy stuff because I think the offense is where a lot of people are wondering what's going on. Let's take some Sox calls here. Andy in Bloomingdale, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andy?
Hey, guys. I just want to talk a little bit about the pitching staff. You know, Giolito came to big comeback season last year, right? Giolito?
2 years
ago, He figured it out, right?
Right.
He didn't have the great season, but Cueto, is he going to be Cueto next year, or is it going to turn into be Giolito? We're hoping Cueto does it. Dylan is going to have another great season. Do you think they're going to get rid of Lynn? Is he going to be a fourth instead of a third?
I don't.
No, they're not getting rid of Lynn. They signed him to a two-year contract extension, didn't they, at the start of the year?
Yeah,
isn't it tough? I mean, is it me, or does it feel like you expect more out of Lynn?
I think Lynn's going to stay. I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Giolito. He wanted new money to begin with.
Yeah.
And then based on his season, how he approaches it, how the White Sox approach it, will they look to still make him a centerpiece of that rotation and think that this year was just an anomaly? And then will they try to buy him low? And what will I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of confidence that he'll magically find it again. That's a difficult decision for them to make. What is the contractual status of Johnny Cueto? I wouldn't assume that they have control of him after this year, do they?
No, and he's old. Remember, he was without a team to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think you appreciate what Johnny Cueto did this year. I think if you go into the 2023 season and expect Johnny Cueto to duplicate what he just did or repeat what he did this year, I'm not so sure that's a great bet. I mean, he still may be a competent pitcher, but to get what you got from him this year, I think would be putting too high an expectation
like
level on him.
If you bring him back as like your, you know, you need six or seven starters these days. If he's one of those, fine. But he shouldn't be one of your. He's 36 right now. He's going to turn 37 right at the start of spring training.
He's an unrestricted free agent, too, with the year that he put together.
Somebody's going to give him money, won't they?
A good one-year deal. So are the White Sox, are they really going to be in the market for that? I doubt it.
No. Again, I want them to add more core pieces, not end-of-their-career pieces. I don't want more guys like Cueto. I don't want more guys like AJ. You know, I need guys who are in their prime who can grow with this team. And then we'll be with the duplicates. The Abreu topic is one that's going to be interesting with his free agency. Whether you bring him back, he's your leader. He's a very productive player. But again, where does the rest of your first baseman play? Do you continue to play them in the outfield? And I don't know. And do you spend that money that you would give Abreu on a different position in an outfielder and let a guy like Vaughn play first base? Steven Winnetka, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. I got two thoughts here. One, is that the White Sox have got to keep in mind that the Cleveland Indians are the youngest roster in the American League, in fact, in baseball. So, you know, the idea that, oh, this was a fluke year or something like that, it's very likely that they're going to come back and be stronger next year,
right?
You know, and in the future for several years. Second base is going to be even more of a premier position than it's been in many years, because doing away with the shifting next year, it's going to give second basemen so much more area that they're going to have to cover. And that's why, like, for the Cubs, being a huge Cubs fan, I think Horner at second base is a perennial all-star, Gold Glover. I think he's a legitimate shortstop. But I think because second base is going to be a hugely important position going forward, I'd love to see him at second base and for them to sign a top tier, whether it's Turner or one of the other, you know, top right. shortstops that are going to be available.
And there are four of them out there, at least four. So thanks for the call,
That's
Steve.
Stephen Elmhurst, not yeah. Stephen Wineka.
Maybe he moved. Yeah, he moved. Yeah, it's okay. Of course it's okay, but I mean, like, it's okay to change your moniker.
Of course.
You don't have to be the same name.
It's the same guy. I mean, I heard the voice, and I was like, wait a second, that's Stephen Elmhurst.
Right. John on the north side. John, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, you guys don't forget me, of course, never. You know who it is.
Oh, John's been calling the show. You took a little bit of a sabbatical, though. We haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, you guys know I lost my brother, and it was rough, and it's tough.
Sure.
But getting to the White Sox, all year, you know, every weekend we wait and we say, boy, this team, can they wake up? Can they turn a corner? And like the one caller said, wow, you know what? Now we don't have to watch the TV and look at the ESPN on our phone. But the Sox have just more than issues. They don't know how to advance base runners. How many times did they have runners on first and second? They never even got on third base. How many times did they steal bases with the exception of Elvis? I mean, right now, I mean, I think the White Sox have to part ways with Moncada, get somebody at third base that can hit and field the ball. Second base is obviously we have to go find a second baseman. But I think after, 4 or 5 years with Moncada, we see what we got. He's done it last year, and I think it's time to part ways. And as far as Abreu, I agree with putting Vaughn there and putting that money out there on something that we need that's going to help this ball club out. Because if last year, the Sox had the same problem. No base running, not hitting behind the runners, and fundamental baseball. Yeah. This team just doesn't know how to run the bases at all. I mean, I just can't believe the blunders from a major league team.
John, thanks.
Yeah, we talked about it all year. That's why I said, you know, weeks ago, months ago, that based on the fundamental mistakes that this team continued to make and them never really reaching the expected level of play, like any other team in all of baseball would have moved on from their manager. And obviously there's a different circumstance with this team, but there are a lot of questions that they have to answer. Whether or not they're willing to answer them, I think, is ultimately the biggest question. Because if you try to run this thing back with virtually the same crew, you're going to get virtually the same result.
All right, I've got the Bears injury report. I've got some good news and bad news from the Bears injury report. We'll tell you about that, and then we'll get into Waddle's film study. Coming up next, as we are live at Cork and Carry on the Park with Bernie's Book Bank.